brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, that's after they got rid of the national anthem thing.
Oh, what? You know, with like the Indian chief.
I thought that was required. It's like a FCC requirement.
The test pattern.
Just playing at 2 a.m. and our show.
It'd go, and yeah, well, that was better than us, but now the TV goes all the time.
Oh, so. Yeah, I got a cease and desist notice from the FCC the last time we used the EBS, you know,
for ripping them off. Yeah,
yeah, there's a whole group of people in Iowa that are just waiting for the, you know,
hiding
the
in their basement.
Come in next.
Yeah. Oh, that's all we need. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
I like how you've turned us into a real man cave with a casino in it tonight.
Well, we try.
Oh, it's clothing optional casino.
It is always still a clothing optional casino
still
for Brent.
A damp and dank.
Still not wearing pants.
I got to dry it up around here. Hey, Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Brent. I know you're not used to wearing pants, but maybe you should consider or reconsider if you're going to wear diapers.
I can help with that. You're going to negotiate with him on this particular episode.
I can help with that.
This is not going to go well for you, all right, Maury? I'm telling you.
Listen, it's okay to wear no pants, but when you're wearing diapers, maybe you should cover them up with some pants.
Oh, man.
Right in the toilet. That's a record.
At
what are we?
308.
Yeah, 241.
I was
straight
close.
In the toilet. Awesome. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. Right away, I'm going to plead the fifth for Brent before he gets himself into trouble.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's not going to help. And joining us today all the way from Nashville is good old boy Mike.
I just want to say that I'm actually here and I'm channeling Harm, and this episode would be so much better with a drop of water, okay?
Are you going to be all like wordy and stuff like him?
Yeah. I am. I'm going to disagree with... Everything. Maury.
Everything.
And
you're going to disagree with
Brent
everything.
And Justin. Justin's not going to say three words. I'm still going to disagree with him.
All right. So we're going to treat him like Harm?
Yeah.
Do you
yeah,
oh, yeah. have any children that live?
No, I don't think so.
All my standard phrases are, why don't I have this in the store? Yeah. Why did I climb up on that ladder?
Why haven't I seen this before?
Shannon!
I swear.
Maybe if he were barefoot like Shannon, he wouldn't have fallen off the ladder.
There you go.
Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else that you can drink. And this is a whiskey episode.
We're finally going to get our drinks on. Chicken, yeah.
Yeah.
So here are the whiskeys we're going to be tasting today. We have High Plains Rye. We have Blackened X Willett Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey. We have the Basil Hayden Toast, Orphan Barrel Copper Tongue Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have the Little Book 5, The Invitation. From Kentucky Senator, we have their release number 1, the 15 year, and the release number 2, the 6 year. And from A. Smith Bowman, we have the A. Smith Bowman Cask Strength Virginia Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So, pretty good lineup to
that
start with.
That is a lot of whiskey. Well, did you negotiate this, Brent?
We were at 10, and I know you're listening to 8.
It's only 8. We can
there,
do
there
eight.
There were 10 bottles, but for some reason, by the time we hit the table, there were only 8 with Brent.
Yeah, we can do 8. What, do you think we can do 8?
It can't be done. You're crazy.
Oh, come on. Settle down, Moss. All right, so we're going to go to our sips ratings, and we're going to go different. We're going to let Mike do that for
all
us
right,
today.
All right, so the underlying storyline is one of our cast members, I'm not going to name names, but was poorly negotiating as our exit from an event, and there was skin involved and whiskey. That's all I have to say. We're not going to let him negotiate anything from us. But there was a Puerto Rican woman involved in this storyline. That's my part of the story. Stick with it, okay? I know she wasn't actually Puerto Rican, but, you know. So one of my favorite professors in my freshman year of high school was from Cuba. He was a Fortran 77. I'm going to teach you everything you want to know about Fortran 77. So
Fortran.
I learned a good Cuba accent with Puerto Rican long time ago. So I'm going to use my Puerto Rican, you know, Cuba accent to read a sips rate. Here we go, Bobby. You ready?
Just waiting. We're still waiting.
Today?
Be here all day.
I am channeling harm through this, okay?
There's only 52 minutes in the show. Just
right. So, number one, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth because I can negotiate really well. Number two, this is a low number for you, Brent. Nice, but what do you have?
Isn't that nice?
Number three, she says this every time I leave you. Interesting. What was that again?
Interesting.
Number four, they say this when you pull up to the bar. Let's keep it a secret to ourselves. Pour me another, amigo.
That's it's almost as bad as Justin doing it. I mean, it's almost.
But the cadence of delivery is right on track. I just want to say that. Number five. Also, you are unaware that anything could be this good, mine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's like we almost don't miss Justin at all.
Absolutely marvelous, darling. Remember, it's important to look good. Not
this
to
would be
good.
So much better with water.
No, darling, darling. It is much more important to look good than to feel good. And remember, darling, you look marvelous.
That is why you do not read the sips ratings. I'm just saying, you know, play your part, man. Hit the button.
Much
okay?
better than you.
Keep Brent in check.
Much
it's
better.
It's so hard.
You.
Play your part.
Much better than you. All right. So we're going to have Brent tell us about our first whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. Our first whiskey is High Plains Rye. It's the latest project from Jim Rutledge and the team at the J.W. Rutledge Distillery. Jim is a man who needs no introduction, is a living legend within the bourbon community for having helmed the Four Roses brand for over 40 years before striking out on his own, where he resurrected the historic Cream of Kentucky brand, which we have discussed on past episodes.
Always good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. High Plains Rye is Jim's first rye whiskey and is a blend of five straight rye whiskeys from four different distilleries in four states: MGP in Indiana, Middle West in Ohio, Kentucky Artisan in Kentucky, and New York Distilling Company in New York. Each whiskey was selected by Jim for its unique flavor characteristics and what it brought to the final blend. The mash bills for these components for these component whiskeys vary from a low of 51% rye all the way up to 100% rye. I don't know which one would be 100% rye, but...
New York.
The New York one?
That's my bet.
Yeah.
I think that's a good bet.
The color, it's got the nice... this is a High Plains rye, 48.5% ABV, 97 proof. So the color is a nice, you know, nice copper penny, newer copper penny color. The on the nose, you get a lot of you get a lot of oak and you get some corn on the nose right off the bat. And for a rye, I wasn't expecting corn on a rye, on a rye whiskey. I wasn't expecting this much corn on
head
it.
Head fake.
Yeah. You know, you get those regular spices, you get some nutmeg, and right at the end, you get a little bit of butterscotch. Now, on the palate.
From which state?
Yeah.
Is it Indiana butterscotch? I want to know which butterscotch this came from, Brent.
Yeah, I'll negotiate that for you.
Good.
So on the palate, it's sweet right off the bat. There's a sweetness to it. And then as it gets on, you get something. It's like a brown sugar. And then it goes and it switches over to like a pepper, somewhere between a black pepper and a cayenne pepper, with some vanilla, and that pepperness, that pepper, the heat of that pepper just kind of follows you through the palate. It's got like a short to medium finish, you know, but it kind of leaves your palate a little bit dry after the finish. So,
well, I think wanting would be the word I would use.
Wanting and
dry. I want to move to the next product.
Okay. Wow. So in that case, we'll skip Mike and go to Maury.
Well, you know, just as it always plays out, you know, you always skip parts. Did you play the part? You know.
Well, you know, Brent, I actually agree with almost everything you said.
Okay, then moving on to Justin. Man, it's going to be a quick show.
There's a lot of baking spices in this.
You actually believe me. I'm joking.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead and finish.
So am I.
Take my line.
Mine just wasn't funny.
I'm sorry. What did you not say again, Maury?
No. I defer to you, Justin. And how much have we been drinking so far?
Often.
For the last few days, yeah. So I think this was like a lot of baking spice in it. And there was like a red chili powder going on, some cinnamon. But it all fades in time. And on the palate, I got like a big rye hit up front when we first opened it. And then it kind of drifts to spicy on the side palate and ends in the back palate. And the water makes the rye more complex. It was like very simple in the beginning, and can't discount air too, because now it's been open about 45 minutes. What'd you think, Bob?
And that's more words than he's used in the last 7 shows.
Well, everybody has to have, you know, shoot about a bar, so.
Flooded with rivulets of thought cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
That's Justin today.
Yep. So eloquent.
No, I thought this was, I thought it was nice. I mean, this is a rye.
Really nice? You're actually going to use the word nice with this product? No, well, and I know our rating behind this. Yeah. You're going to say it's nice.
Well, remember, this rating is a conglomeration of the rest of you miserable bastards. So, well,
I believe the rating includes the word nice.
Yeah.
Really?
Nice. But what else do you have?
Yeah, correct. And what is next?
Actually, Mike, I hate to be contrary, but there's nothing inherently wrong with this. It's just not... It's not a unicorn. It's not
of
an amazing.
Of all the things that Jim has made, this is not even at the bottom. Okay, it is that bad, I think.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, it's just, he's made so many great things. Anyway.
We'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the High Plains Rye, which this table full of knuckleheads decided to give a rating of
Brent's the knucklehead of right
two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
Under great protest from some of us, but we are moving on to our next one, so we're gonna have Maury tell us about that.
Wow, well, thank you, Bob. I'm excited to talk about Blackened X Willet Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey, coming in at 109.6 proof. That's 54.8% ABV for you, Justin.
Yeah. Thanks for the math. 33 to 30. That.
The square root of pi. The Masters of Whiskey series was born from the core tenet of Blackened American Whiskey and Metallica collaboration. This series will combine the strengths of master distiller and blender Rob Dietrich and renowned whiskey makers to reimagine craft whiskey and create more complex expressions. Each of these limited edition whiskeys will be finished to their own unique playlist, which is blasted into the barrels using Blackened's proprietary Black Noise Sonic Enhancement Process.
So it's like a concert for the barrels.
Yeah,
correct.
If Harm did it, it would probably be like Engelbert Humperdinck or something, you know.
For the first release in the series, Rob Dietrich and Willett's Distillery's own master distiller, Drew Kulcevine, teamed up to create the Blackened X Willett Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey, finished in Madeira casks. Made from a blend of Kentucky high rye and low rye recipes that were hand-selected by both Rob and Drew from the Willett Distillery's family estate selections. The oldest whiskey features an age statement of 8 years, while an average age of the bottling is 6.5 years. The whiskeys were then married together and finished in Madeira casks for up to 14 weeks. And during that time, the whiskeys underwent the proprietary Black Noise sonic enhancement process that uses low hertz frequencies from Metallica's music to vibrate the barrels, causing a greater interaction between the whiskey and the wood, forcing the liquid further into the barrel and extracting more flavors and color.
Work it real good.
That's a crazy process.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine all these barrels just sitting around rocking out to Enter Sandman.
I love the visual.
Yeah.
Well, every time somebody says the word sonic conditioning, the first words that come to is Copper and Kings, because I remember walking down. So they're at Copper and Kings, which is they make a wide variety of things there, but they were making absinthe that day. And their on-site rickhouse is actually below ground. And they swing the door open to the rickhouse and they're playing Back in Black from AC/DC. And I mean, the bass is just like, you know, rocking those. You know, so every time somebody says sonic conditioning, I'm hearing Back in Black is the thing I'm listening to. Not Engelbert Humperdinck, Brett.
No, I said Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman. Okay, yes.
That's a pretty good one from Metallica.
Okay, fair enough. It's a beautiful copper, burnished copper color. The nose has all kinds of really interesting things going on. I find the nose to be a little bit sweet. There's this hint of, you know, simmered fruit, some brown sugar, a vanilla bean, a little bit of fig, cigar box there. And then on the palate, it's buttery, it's caramely, it's definitely sweet. It's got a sweetness from the Madeira that really comes through. There's also definitely a butteriness and perhaps a little walnut. The finish is medium. I thought this was a nice offering. I think this is one of the best things that Blackened has put out. I think it's very nice. It's a little on the sweet side, but generally speaking, it showcases the Madeira, and I think it's well made.
Mm. It's exactly like you say, and the finish is like a raspberry finish. It just kind of just overwhelms you right at the end, and I enjoyed that. That was something I enjoyed. All the other notes were right on, and
I didn't get as much raspberry as you, but I thought, you know, it's enjoyable.
It is. You know, it is enjoyable. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't, you know, price wise, but you know, I'm not judging it on that. So, Justin.
So. On the nose, I got stewed peaches, cardamom, and a little bit of vanilla. On the palate, I got that, I know it's not called MGP anymore, but like the MGP mint note that most of their sourced whiskey comes from. And the Madeira cask finish was there, but the longer it had air and the more water you put in it, the more it faded out. And the finish was bitter the first time around when we just opened it before I put in water, but it got sweeter over time. What'd you think,
Mike? Now, just not to discount what you said, because you're entitled to what you think.
He's
going to
discount what I said. Go ahead.
I don't think any of the juice came from MGP.
Beg to differ.
I don't think any of the juice came from MGP. I think this is all Willett stuff. I'm not saying
it did. It just tasted like
No. I know. I'm just clarifying for them.
Thank you. It came from Willett. That's what it says.
Yeah, I think it's from pot still. It definitely rings, you know, of that tasting note. I picked up vanilla bean and cigar box were the two main things. The aroma and the whiskey itself were decoupled. I, you know, really enjoyed the aroma. I thought the palate was just, you know, fleeting and, you know, just fell apart really quick. The earthy mint thing definitely was probably the most predominant element, I thought, on the palate, which I think is reminiscent of, you know, 6 year, you know, pot Willett for the most part. But I think of all the ugly kids in the school, this one was, you know, not the best looking ugly kid is the way I would describe where I thought this. This, you know, is going to wind up in a bunch of other vanity, you know, laden projects with celebrity, you know, whiskey that is never going to hit the you know, any of the whiskey aficionados shelf. It's going to be on the Beck shelf of, you know, Bennigan's or, you know, O'Charlie's or some other, you know, large chain. And that's how it's going to live. I just don't see this being taken seriously by anybody.
I think if the price were more reasonable, more people would buy it. I think it's a great $25 whiskey.
People are going to run to buy it just because it says Willet.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just one word is all it has to have on it. And it's all, and then people are going to run for it.
I think the one surprising out of this, I didn't pick up on the Madeira finish at all. And I love, you know, I think Madeira is a great, you know, finishing barrel. And I just, was it there? I didn't even pick up on that at all. Bob.
Well, you guys are taking so damn long, I don't have any time left to talk. So we're just going to go ahead and rate this one. We're going to rate the Black Index Willet Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey. 3 sips.
Interesting.
Best looking ugly kid.
Stop talking about it. That's what your mother said. So stop talking about it, okay? All right, so we're going to go to Justin.
So now we're going to talk about Basil Hayden Toast. It's 80 proof for 40% alcohol by volume. And it's the newest permanent addition to the Basil Hayden line. The Basil Hayden Toast is different from the original flagship bourbon in two important ways. The first difference is in the mash bill that's used in its creation. Basil Hayden's traditional high rye mash bill is 63% corn, 27% rye, and 10% malted barley. And the new Basil Hayden Toast swaps...
Reading's a new thing for him.
I guess.
Working on it.
Overeducated and overpaid.
Definitely the latter. So the new Basil Hayden Toast swaps the rye for U.S. grown brown rice. The second difference is in the barrel. After aging in traditional number 4 charred oak barrels, a portion of the whiskey is given a secondary finish in toasted oak barrels for a long time before being blended back with its core rice bourbon to achieve the final product. On the nose, I got cinnamon Czech cereal, buttered popcorn, and some cloves. On the palate, that cinnamon Czech carried through. It was kind of flat in the beginning. After water, I got more wood out of it. And the brown rice reminds me of the Jim Beam limited release with brown rice. It definitely has a distinct taste, and I appreciate them doing something different on a permanent release. What did you think, Mike?
I thought the more interesting part of this was the nose on this was almost like rubbing alcohol and a bit perfumey, with, you know, really spice laden. The thing I love about this product is, should go back and listen to our episode covering the entire small batch collection from Jim Beam. And hearing us talk about, you know, Basil Hayden, and I like the fact that they're kind of drifting back through these products and they're kind of either refreshing them or coming back and revisiting them. So I really love what they did with Baker's. And this is another product out of that same product line that they've said, you know what? They've done a lot of things with Basil Hayden. You know, they've finished it off in other casts. They've, you know, done it at cast strength. They've been... I love the fact that they just haven't said, you know what, let's just leave this product on the shelf and leave it alone. So I love the fact that they took something very subtle as doing nothing more than a toasted finish to it and actually think they made something better than the original. So I thought it was balanced, creamy. Brent used the word first, but I wrote it down at the same time when we were tasting. Subtle wood. You know, I like this. If you're a Basil Hayden fan, you need to definitely revisit this.
It's definitely in the family of Basil Hayden. Yep. I one of the things that I like to say as a hallmark of Basil Hayden is that it's light, it's delicate, it's got finesse and style, it doesn't hit you over the head. It's what I would describe as a little more feminine whiskey, and this is definitely part of the family.
Now
it's
different. I have a Basil Hayden.
But the mouthfeel on it's everything. It's cream, that rice gives it that creaminess, a really good coat to it. And I'm with Justin on the nose. It's like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you know, or like a light cinnamon toast. I think it's one of the best things I've had so far from Basil Hayden, you know, and all their variations that they've done. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to rate the Basil Hayden Toast. Well-deserved 3 sips. So let's go to Mike, who's going to tell us about the next one.
Do you want me to do it in Puerto Rican? All right. After we're going to talk about the Orphan Barrel Copper Tongue Straight Bourbon Whiskey. The product we have today is at 16 years and 89.8 proof. After many years of acquisitions in the whiskey business, an international beverage giant, Diageo, found themselves with quite a collection in their warehouse of aging whiskeys from various sources. Realizing that they needed to do something with all this different whiskey, they created the Orphan Barrel Project of 2014 and asked everybody to buy it hook, line, and sinker. They started out with three releases. Old Blowhard, that's the way to start, a 26-year-old expression. Barterhouse, a 20-year expression, and the original Rhetoric, 20-year-old. After years, they've released new expressions of the whiskey with these stocks of various ages and pedigrees. Gifted Horse, horrible product. Lost Prophet, Forged Oak, and Muckety Muck, even worse, was some of them. The most recent release of Orphan Barrel series is called Copper Tongue, and it's a blend of two separate 16-year-old batches of bourbon distilled at and aged at Cascade Hollow Distilling, the home of George Stickel, Tennessee whiskey brand, discovered by Nicole Austin, this head distiller at Cascade Hollow. The Copper Tongue is bottled at cask strength and having gone down in strength during its 16 years in the barrel. So, interesting lineup, you know, to that. My tasting notes around this kind of medium copper. The nose was very floral. I thought the palate was wood. Can you remove the wood out of my left cheekbone? The sugars on this I thought were probably the more interesting. This is traditional kind of caramel sugars, and the finish was kind of medium or kind of semi-sweet is kind of where I put it. This is a product, I mean, I have, you know, regular interaction with Nicole, so I know her palate, and it's really interesting that she's, you know, kind of front and center and helping with this particular product line, which has been handled by quite a few people, you know, at Diageo over time. And I like that. You know, I know the stock that she was pulling from for this. There was an awful lot of advanced age Dickel that she's been working with for the last 3 years. And I like that they, you know, decided to take a run at one of the more subtle elements of this. So, Bobby, what you think?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, it's exactly what I thought for a Dickel of that age. I get a lot of brown sugar and brown butter on the nose. Definitely you're going to get a lot of oak when it's that old. So there's a lot of tannin to it. I get a little bit of white pepper on the front. On the back, I get a little bit of cinnamon. And again, because of all the extra oak, you get all that tannin. So it's got a bit of a dry palate, but it's right where I thought it would be. I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'd pay the full price for it, but I did enjoy it. But I tend to like older woody whiskeys. So,
yeah. Not on my menu though. It's a little too much of those oak tannins that, you know, that I don't have that sweetness and I don't have any of those other things.
You're right. It picked up some bitterness from the tannin.
Yeah, it did. It was, you know, so
almost wood taint.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if
I felt that it had almost a medicinal note to the wood. The wood just overpowered it.
If you like that kind of, if you like that kind of stuff though, this is for you. I mean, it appeases to a certain group of people that like that wood, that, you know, that strong wood tannins.
I could sell this stuff in Japan. Oh my God, could I sell this in Japan?
Right. So it's made for a certain group of people, but and I'm going to pass on it. You know, Justin. Okay.
So this kind of reminded me of you Scotch fans out there of Ardbeg a little bit without the intense smoke, and I got sweet vanilla toffee almonds on the nose. It was approachable on the palate. The wood just kept coming through more and more as time went on. Usually that fades, but I got some spicy notes and some marmalade on it, and the finish was sweet, medium length, but it ended flat.
Okay, so the Willet tastes like MGP. And the Dickel tastes like Ardbeg.
Right. You got it.
Is there a Pop-Tart in there anywhere?
You're a drunken lush.
Yeah, I don't know. Lord have mercy. I give up. So,
two words. Sensory training.
Yeah. We're going to be rating the Orphan Barrel Copper Tongue 3 sets.
Interesting.
So that takes us to the Little Book Chapter 5, The Invitation. It's 58.4% ABV, 116.8 proof. This is the fifth release in the annual Little Book series from Freddie Beam, Eighth Generation Beam Family Distiller. This is named The Invitation. It's meant to be a literal invitation from Freddie to bourbon lovers to expand their horizons through a diverse blend of whiskeys. The whiskeys making up this blend, there's a two-year Kentucky straight bourbon, there's a three-year malted 100% rye, a five-year Kentucky straight bourbon, and a 15-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon. So on the nose on this, I get a lot of flowers. Very, very floral and very sweet. Almost like a honeysuckle. On the palate, I get a good bit of oak. It's got a bit of dryness to it, a little bit of tannin, but big flavor. And it's got a really pretty dang, I'd say medium to long finish. I've liked every one of them they've released. This one is no different. This is a good blend.
I'm going to place this number two out of the five.
Yeah.
You know, I thought number one was really good. I think this is probably my second favorite out of the releases so far.
What do you think, Brent?
On the nose, I felt like I was like sitting next to an oak tree with some flowers and honeysuckles and, you know, and a little bit of white pepper on there as well on the nose. And then, you know, on the palate, everything was front forward.
Yeah. It's all very,
very
front palate.
Very, very front forward on the palate. And so while it had a nice finish, it really left the back of my palate dry. But, you know, I like what he's doing. I love the whole concept that he's taking and doing something different with every single batch.
Yeah.
And really trying to expand, you know, people's horizons.
And again, I mean, you know, he knows what he's doing. You know, I mean, blending is a very difficult test. Making whiskey's hard. Blending's even harder. And he's shown, you know, this is number five. Every one of them I've had so far. Freddie knows what he's doing. This I'm with Mike. I think this is probably my number two.
Yeah.
What do the rest of you guys think?
I thought it was very well done. I think it's a beautiful whiskey. It's got a beautiful a burnished copper color. I love the creaminess on the palate. The mouthfeel is just over and above. I found the finish to be long, and I agree with you guys. I think everything that Freddie's touched has been, you know, A+ and first class, and I think this is no exception. I think this is definitely one of his best.
Justin?
So the color I found was a light brown. I got on the nose vanilla and a faint hit of Elmer's glue, but not in a bad way. Just kind of reminiscent of sniffing glue as a kid.
Training.
Yeah. Which I don't recommend at home, kids. You'll end up like me.
Well, we're gonna rate the Little Book Chapter 5, The Invitation, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And we'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the Little Book, Chapter 5, The Invitation. We gave that a real well-deserved 4 sips. So we're going to go on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Mike complain and
moan
about it.
Well, the one thing we've established is we know which of us was the kid that ate glue.
Yeah, so, that's true.
There is no doubt about that whatsoever.
Well, that was really horrible.
No, oh, you're always complaining!
Our next product is from A. Smith Bowman. This is, let's see, where was the full description of it? A. Smith Bowman Gas Strength. This is Virginia Straight Bourbon Whiskey at 141 proof. Hazmat, baby. So this is a 10-year-old product. Here's a brief background on A. Smith Bowman. In 1927, A. Smith Bowman bought the Sunset Hills Estate Farm and opened up a dairy and greenery. Where here, the farm was so absorbent that he needed to use the excess grain from his fields. In 1935, after the repeal of prohibition in the state of Virginia, he built and licensed the distillery. His sons maintained the tradition, continuing to feed the distillers grains from the dairy cattle, which were known to be the most contented cows in Virginia. Wow. In 1947, Bowman acquired 3,240 additional acres, making the tract the largest privately owned property in the D.C. metro area until the 1960s. I thought the land around Monticello was like the largest land, you know, holdings anyway. Until the 1950s, the Bowman Distillery was the only legal whiskey operation in Virginia. In response to the rising real estate prices and property taxes in Northern Virginia, yeah, bring it to the politicians. It is 1988. The distillery was moved to the current location, which is in Spotsylvania County near the city of Fredericksburg, 60 miles away from the original location. And in 2003, the Sazerac Company purchased the distillery and began investing in renovation and looking to update the product line. A. Smith Bowman is still the home of the Virginia Gentleman. So they sent Truman over to oversee this product as it was kind of going through some modification and retooling. We did a full show on all the Bowman products, so I will post a link on our show notes and you can listen to all of the but at that particular time when we did that show, they did not have the cast strength version, which is in front of us. Huge deep color. I love the vanilla and the dried cherries on this nose. It was very, very nutty. I almost thought that I was tasting a Dickel-based product at first. It wasn't peanuts, but it was more of like in the pecan hazelnut family, you know, quite a bit. It definitely had some sugar and it was sweet. And the toasted coconut was probably the one subtle hint that I definitely picked up on. I thought the finish was woody, but it was very complex and rich. I absolutely love this product. I want the rest of the bottle. Can I say dibs? Do I need to negotiate with you, Brent?
Yes, you do. Yes.
Do you need some belly button action?
Yeah, you try getting that bottle out of this house. I carry a gun.
Guns.
All right, Justin, what'd you think? Did you think it tastes like Glenmorangie or...
Yeah.
This is more of a Japanese whiskey.
Pop-Tarts. Yeah. You know, it was aged Elmer's glue.
I mean, the predominant note for me was ripe apple. And I see where Mike was going with the nuts. But for me, it came off more like marzipan. The nose wasn't too complex. But the palate, wow. We got brown sugar, oak, and toasted coconut was there. Heavy on the toast. And the finish was long, fiery, and awesome. If I could get away with stealing this bottle, I certainly would.
Good luck.
Not if I take it first.
Yeah. Good luck.
I thought that there was a huge component of apple on the nose when it first was opened. And then with air, that's mostly blown off. I get mostly vanilla now. I think it really benefited from some water. It was delicious up front, but the water just really amped up the flavors. Again, I agree with everything you've said, Justin, in terms of the nuttiness and the coconut, etc. I just think it's a beautiful whiskey, and every time I go back to it, I get some layers that I hadn't noticed before.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's just fun. You just discover new stuff. And the finish is long. It just, for me, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. I think it's a beautiful whiskey. It's definitely flavor amped up to 11.
I think some of the series whiskeys that they put on the Abraham label, I mean, those really have a tremendous amount of complexity to them. And I think that's the one thing I'm surprised about is that I think the original A. Smith Bowman, I thought was a bit, you know, more simple, you know, approach to it. And
this has really evolved.
The cast strength version has really just brought out all this measure of complexity that was not there in the proofdown version.
Well, if you were really playing the part of Harmeet, you'd be like,
I would
like,
say it's so much better with water.
You would say, you guys are just proof hounds and you only like it because it's high proof. But the reality of it is that the flavor is turned up to 11. It's turned up to 11, and it's not just about the alcohol. It's about the flavors. It's not been watered down. The flavors are right there.
It doesn't need a touch of water. We haven't said that yet. Yeah.
I said it, and I agree. But it's just got so much flavor.
I don't know. Let's see. Brent, does it need water?
No water needed.
There you go. Well, that was a, like a softball pitch. You know, the biggest proof found on the planet. It doesn't need water.
Why would you add water to this when you've got so many
staves?
When it's perfect already. When you have so much flavor to this already, and it's already there.
Because the water separates the molecules and it enhances the flavor.
But you really, when you're out in at a fair or carnival and you have those toasted nuts being made and stuff, that's what it really kind of reminds you of right off the bat. But the nose is heavy on fruit, heavy on fruit, and then the palate, it's just amped up.
I felt like the fruit faded with time, air, and water. Yeah. But again, it's a wonderful nose.
Oh gosh, I just keep going back to it. I mean, when you can find this, I mean, you're not going to find it anywhere, but when you can, you got to snatch it.
Mm-hmm. Will it be in Florida?
No.
Let me help you with that. As I reach out and snatch the bottle. You don't have to ask me twice, man.
Well, anybody that says that they want to put water.
Hold your tongue, you smug little pustule. Get out of my sight and stay out.
Yeah, leave this one alone. Just leave it alone. It's magnificent the way that it is. It's got so much flavor. It's got a finish that goes on for days. There's nothing you can do to improve this whiskey. This whiskey is absolutely fabulous. If you find it in a bar, if you find it in a store, grab it, drink it, get anything that you can. We're going to be rating the A. Smith Bowman Cask Strength Virginia Straight Bourbon Whiskey, an extremely well-deserved 5 sips.
And best of the flight today, right? Yeah.
Best of the flight today for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go on to our next whiskey, which we're going to have Brent tell us about.
Thanks, Bob. This next one is the Kentucky Senator Release Number 2, 53.5% ABV. It's 107 proof, 6 years old. It's a mash bill of 75% corn, 21% rye, and then some malted barley. So the Kentucky Senator brand was originally distilled and bottled by Krigler & Krigler in Covington, Kentucky, then by Double Springs Distillers in Bardstown. The brand was revived in 2019 by Kentucky Senator Spirits, LLC, which is owned by Andre Regard, an entrepreneur and an equine attorney, and Damon Thayer, a Kentucky Senator since 2003.
Smells like horse crap.
Yeah. So Thayer is a well-known supporter of bills that benefit the Kentucky alcohol industry. Each release of Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey will carry the name of an esteemed U.S. Senator from the Bluegrass State. The second release of Kentucky Senator has been aged 6 years, the same number of years that William J. DeBow served in the U.S. Senate, 1897 to 1903. So born in Crittenden County, William J. DeBow carries the distinction of being the very first Republican from Kentucky to serve in the Senate. He was also a physician and lawyer who attended medical school at the University of Louisville. So this has got a lighter copper color to it, lighter, brown, as we like to say, brown, drink it down. On the nose, I got a lot of flowers and oak, some green grass, a little bit of a mint to it. Then on the palate, I was expecting a lot of corn on this palate, but it's actually very well rounded. It's like a nice well rounded bourbon, with all the notes you get. The vanilla, the baking spice, the oak. A little bit of pepper.
This drink's older than 6 years.
Yeah, it does. It does drink older than 6 years. But we're leaving to be more surprised with our next one. But I mean, it's got a nice medium finish. It's an all day sipper. I don't find any faults to this one. When you're just drinking it, it's like, okay, yeah, I could drink this all day if I need to.
What do you think, Justin?
Definitely an all day sipper. I got vanilla, some marshmallow, malt on it. The finish was woody and sweet. It had floral notes on the nose. Those faded off with time and water. I figured since Harm wasn't here, I just add water to everything, see how it tasted. And I recommend the water on this one.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
That's Justin. What'd you think, Mike?
Well, I just thought it was ho-hum and average. Some of my tasting notes, the palate itself was very floral, wood, low sugars, zero vanilla. I thought this was probably a big surprising thing for me. I don't know. I just one word that I wrote down kind of just sums it up. It's just kind of lacking. I think the most confusing thing is I hate, you know, elements of provenance that I can't figure out. Like Double Springs is, that's not a real distillery. That's just something on paper, you know. I didn't even know they have a physical address. So, you know, otherwise show me a picture of the still, because I have no idea what that, you know, is at all. But
it looks like a post office box.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, there's the horse, you know. But yeah, I don't know where this came from, but I wasn't a fan. The other thing I was surprised about is with a mash bill of 75% corn, I thought it was going to be a corn bomb, and it's not actually.
Is it sourced or are they making any of their own?
No, it's sourced.
It's sourced.
Yeah.
It's sourced. It's, I thought it was, I thought, again, I thought it drank better than a 6-year bourbon. I got oak, I got sweet, I got vanilla, and I got a little bit of spice. And I had a medium finish. You know, it's, what do you, you know, it's 6 years.
It's going to get lost in the shuffle of all these.
I was between the two of you guys. I thought it was sort of ordinary and uninspired.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice. There's no inherent flaws.
Yeah.
It just was not, you know, after some of the stuff we've had, it's just.
It's going to be on the shelf one and done.
And after, and after drinking it after that Bowman. So, but we're going to be rating the Kentucky Senate release number 2, 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to go to Justin for our last one. So
cool. More Elmer's glue.
Okay. Right. So our last one is another release from Kentucky Senator, release number 2. And it's 53% alcohol by volume, 107 proof. It's 6 years old. Mash bill is 75% corn, 21% rye, and malted barley. It was originally distilled and bottled by Krigler & Krigler in Covington, and then Double Springs.
Skip all this. We already just heard it, Trist.
Yeah.
I so I got what, burnished copper on
I don't know
this
what he's reading.
Vanilla, petunias.
It's the 15 year
over
what
time.
We just tasted.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That one I got medium copper on. It was corny, cotton candy.
No glue.
Candied corn, cantaloupe, and
any more Pop-Tart. Candy located in there?
It is Halloween.
Mounds.
So there should be candy here.
Almond Joy.
And the palate was sweet. I got a creamy mouthfeel on it, and I got a note of green raisins, and the finish was sweet, a little hot, and long.
Are we drinking the same bourbon?
Yeah, no, obviously I mean, not. Somebody got his
always.
He always gets his numbers mixed up. What'd you think, Brent?
Okay, this is exactly the same bourbon that we just had, but just on steroids. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you just take all the same things we had, and it really pumped it up. You're just like, pump me up. So, and that's what it did. And I enjoyed this one a whole lot. The finish just does not stop. It just goes and goes and goes. And, but again, I think this is going to get lost. This one might not get lost in the shuffle. The other one I think is just going to get, you know, is people are just going to forget about, you know, it's going to be a one and kind of done thing. This one here stands out by itself.
Well, they're individual,
what have you been drinking?
They're individual releases. So, you know, they're all one and done. So.
This solidified my best guess, which is I think this is Heaven Hill.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I thought this was just Cherry Robitussin. I didn't really like this any much more than the first one. I thought the first one was, like Mike said, somewhat ordinary. And this one just amps up the Cherry Robitussin flavors for me.
Pedestrian. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's very rare for you to say that, you know, a 15-year-old whiskey is just kind of ho-hummish. I mean, part of it is you look at the age statement and you think, oh, wow, this is going to be
complex. It's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing. And yeah, just, you know, for a price point perspective, I'm kind of like, is there something more here? You know, I think that was kind of where I was at. I was waiting for a big finish.
Yeah, for me, it just wasn't as complex as I expected for a 15-year
bourbon. Still good, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to pound it into the sand, but, you know.
Well, you're doing a really good job.
This one here. This one here.
What'd you say, Counselor Veldheim?
Yeah.
Next.
Are you kidding Do not me? Add water to this one. I mean, it does not need it, so.
All right, rate and wrap this up here,
Apparently, Bobby. Somebody, you know, had somebody pee in their cornflakes this morning, so.
Hey, Ray.
Christ, it's like, here's $1,000 bottle of whiskey. It's pedestrian.
I did like the Bowman. Yeah, okay.
God almighty. I love
the glaze. Hey, we're not rating on price. We're rating on what's in the glass.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever I put in the glass in front of him, he's going to complain about. I thought it was actually very nice whiskey. It had a lot of good flavor to it. It's got a nice backbone of the age. It's got some wood tannin, but it's not overly dry. It's not overly bitter. Good whiskey. Rating it 4 sips.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the hot time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at iTunes, Google Play, iHeart, CBS Radio, and pretty much any place that you can listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, Google, whoever the woman is that talks back to you, to play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. And our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You're also able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. You can also check us out on Instagram at @SipSudsandSmokes or at @MadeManBob. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode. If you're listening to us online, it's a big help to us, and we get your feedback as well. You can also check out Brent Moore and myself on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. Let me negotiate all the rest of the comments tonight. I am taking the bourbons.
Yeah, not happening. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Always a pleasure in the basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thanks so much. It was really fun to be here today.
You did realize we were drinking whiskey today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I swear. We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
And thank you, Mike.
At the next intersection, turn left and then left. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Come back, join us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.